So, then, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology, Adventure Number 156B, page 661. And we're dealing, actually, with secret doctrine references to Mars. Mars was the lord of birth, of death, of generation, and destruction. Well, all of these can relate to the sign Scorpio. Birth is death, death is birth, and generation is related to the sacral center. Destruction, it's pretty much connected with the eighth house. But in a way, we can say that coming newly to birth is related to Aries, we might say. So the emergence of the new. But there's also a pushing out, pushing forward in Scorpio, where the new and transformed man is born. Death is related to both Aries and to Scorpio, but especially to Scorpio. Generation, the planting of seeds, to Aries. Destruction, both to Aries and Scorpio, but perhaps especially to Scorpio. These are two Martian signs. They are two signs which may bring in the first ray. Certainly, Aries does, and since Scorpio is the sign of Hercules, the likelihood of it bringing in that ray is very strong, the first ray. Mars was called the six-faced planet because relates to the cube of space and to desire within time and space and the ordinary three dimensions. Six faces, the cube, three dimensions. Also, the six of desire and of form in general. Without Mars, there would be no generation of the form. Mars, okay, it's always that way. So we have Mars, sacral center, and the generation of the form in time and space. We are not breaking into other dimensions via Mars. We may wish to, but it will take other kinds of planets to bring us on the other side, because the other side is non-dual, and Mars, a great planet of duality, causing cleavage. It's connected with the fifth ray, the sixth ray. Both of those are very concrete and tend to cause division and cleavage. Well, this has everything to do with limitation within our lower worlds. The three lower worlds and the cube of space. The three lower worlds and the sixth face, six-faced regular figure, or three-dimensional platonic solid. So it is the six that takes us down into matter, and the nine which makes us ascend. Mars is connected with the six, at least in our method of numerology. References in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire. There is a triangle formed by the Earth, Mars, and Mercury. Well, Mercury as an equilibrizing planet, I would say. In connection with this triangle, the analogy lies in the fact that Mercury and the center at the base of the spine in the human being are closely allied. Well, I think we can see this. Kundalini ascending, Mercury. Kundalini active, Mercury. Kundalini passive, Mars. Earth as the basis mind center of the soul of Logos, either now or intended to be, certainly not fully active yet. So this triangle has everything to do with the energies at the base of the spine. We could probably bring in Pluto as well, and in a certain sense Saturn. Not Vulcan. Vulcan is the downward pressure. And Mercury rises here, as does the influence of Pluto. So this is also, from another point of view, we have the mind, emotions, and body. In the order of Mercury, Mars, Earth. And also in the chains, let's take a look if we still have the Earth chain here. There we go. Or maybe globes, perhaps it is. Well, I know that there have been ways of considering a third chain Martian, a fourth chain Earthian, Tellurian, and a fifth chain Mercurian. So they were contiguous, and maybe this is also the case with globes. Mars, Earth, and Mercury globes as being contiguous, but here they are organized in a different type of picture. We might take a look at that. Mars, Earth, Mercury, globes, globe. Well, maybe there's nothing here. Maybe it's in theosophy that one finds that. But there seems to be a transition from the Mars globe to the Earth globe to the Mercury globe. And could this third one, although it's not indicated, be the Mars globe? And here's the fourth and here's the fifth, Mercury globe. Could that be the case? There are various relations, either of globes. In other words, we are dealing either with contiguous globes or chains, but not schemes. When it comes to dealing with schemes, Mars scheme is considered, it is schemes. Okay, it's the schemes. Mars, Earth, Mercury. Right. Very good. So, with globes or chains, I should say, and especially schemes, because the numbering of the schemes surrounding Saturn is as follows. Mars, scheme 3, Earth, scheme 4, Mercury, scheme 5. And perhaps that tells us something about their relative degrees of evolution, although Venus, I believe, is scheme 2 and very highly unfolded. Vulcan, Venus, Mars, in that order, with Mars preceding somehow the Earth. Mars, though, will be related to the Moon. So if we were to transpose this down to chains, we might have the Venus chain, the Moon chain, and the Earth chain. Mars having much connection with the lunar lords and lunar elementals. The Jupiter scheme, interestingly, is number 6, giving it a connection, perhaps, with the 6th ray, just as Mercury definitely does with the 5th ray. Mars does have a connection with the 3rd ray in terms of the activity aspect. At least it works out practically that way. Venus with the 2nd ray, of course, Vulcan with the 1st ray, Saturn with the 7th, yes, they all have number connections, numerological connections, which make some sense. Mercury, Mars, and the Earth are closely related, and with these three, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn. Well, I think we've gone over this already. The three super principles and their reflections, and we talked about the reflections of Venus and Earth, Jupiter and Mars, and Saturn and Mercury. Jupiter and Venus do belong to the same second ray entity. Earth and Saturn, in different groups, belong to the same third ray entity. Actually, Mars belongs to that great third ray entity as well, but I don't think we can see a pattern there. The planet Mercury, Mercury is just beginning to get out of a state of obscuration. So, where will the life appear? And perhaps on the 5th globe of the 4th chain. So the planets that are now visible, will be the 5th globe for both Venus and Mercury. They are the dense physical planets. It's not always a 4th globe that is the visible one. Maybe, well, I was going to say that if we are operating, the fourth globe is the most likely to be the visible, as in all cases here, but somehow it's the 5th globe which is operating for Mercury and Venus, and I wonder if each of them is in their 5th scheme round. But even though Mars and Earth might be in their 4th scheme round and have the 4th globe visible, Jupiter, Saturn, and Vulcan are in their, maybe their 3rd scheme round, or is it the 4th scheme round vitalizing the 4th chain, and hence a 4th globe is what appears. This is not the standard theosophical presentation. DK has gone much deeper here. You understand the wisdom must be so strong, the understanding so strong for a master like DK, that he really looks upon humanity as being the poor ones. And he comes to dower with riches, as do the masters. It's like crumbs from the tables of the gods, you know. Well, even the crumbs are eaten voraciously. But the table will also be spread before us, and it's to make us worthy to eat at that table that we are being given this material to help spiritually civilize us. It does take some time and plenty of work. But it's so interesting that not only fourth globes are dense. The moon, let's see, was the moon a fourth globe or a third globe? Let's see. In our chain, moon, third globe? Can it be? Mystery of the moon informing the dense globe of the moon chain. Maybe. Was the Earth also visible at the time? there's reason to think that this was a possibility, but I cannot find here for sure that the moon globe, the moon was the third or the fourth. It certainly wasn't the fifth. Let's see, when did this happen? It happened in the third chain, moon, fifth round. Can it have reached that far? Earth should now be in her fifth round, paralleling the Venus scheme. But the moon chain saw a period of temporary retardation. How interesting. Now, where's the moon? On the moon chain, individualization took place during the fifth race of the third round. And in the chain next to ours on the evolutionary arc, individualization will take place in the sixth race of the second round. This refers to planetary rounds through a chain of globes, or I sometimes call them chain rounds. The moon, the fifth principle of Manus, incubated normally, and instinct gradually developed. Well, I don't think at the moment I can find the particular globe which the moon represents. Is it a fourth globe? Let's try that again. Just one more shot. Let's see. Moon, fourth globe, nothing. Moon, third globe. Well, that's the one I probably looked at before, isn't it? Yeah. And everything is so separated there that they don't have any real connection. I think the moon disaster, okay, moon disaster, nothing. I had earlier, and I think I have in my commentaries on Cosmic Fire, the time when the moon ceased to be. Moon chain, end, round, no, moon chain, end. Let's see if we can sell something of the time. Earth chain, a peculiar condition, failure coincident with the moon chain. Present stage of activity in the moon chain, nothing there particularly. And is there anything here? Many monads who achieved self-consciousness in the moon chain only entered. Well, that's when they entered. Okay, no. Mercury has no satellite. All right. Is it so detached? Does Venus have a satellite? Seems not. Earth has no planetoid, but it does have a vestigial moon. Mercury is a septenary chain, as they all seem to be, but perhaps the word scheme should be used. In the old theosophical works, they really didn't use the word scheme. Maybe some of those who gradually started reading the Tibetan and evolved the thought further began to use the word scheme as the Tibetan does, but a chain was as far as we went. And the discussion of there being seven chains in a scheme was not the general presentation. Mercury is far older than the Earth, yes, with a big history in the previous solar system. Connected with the third ray. Mercury, we're told, receives seven times the solar light of Earth. Maybe that proportion tells us something about the relative degree of advancement. Are all of these planets present in every solar system or not? Was there, our solar logos has had five solar systems, of which this is the second major. Were all planetary logoi present in all of them? Or was a planet like Mercury present earlier in the planetary system of our solar logos than was the Earth? It's a bit like Master Jupiter. He's the oldest of all the masters. What does that mean? That he somehow has a physical body that is oldest, or that he comes from the previous solar system at an early date and has been undergoing an evolution for a longer time? Mercury is called the first of the celestial gods, the god Hermes. To which god is attributed the invention of the first initiation of men into magic? That takes us right to the tarot and the magician card, which is a Mercury card. Mercury is Buddha, wisdom, enlightenment, related to Buddha, the wise and enlightened one, or the reawakening of the divine in the divine science. That's what humanity will need. Humanity needs this reawakening now, and Mercury will be powerful for this reawakening in the second decan of Aquarius, which Mercury rules. Notice how science comes in here, and also the idea of the I. The Buddha is called the awakened one, the fully awakened one, and he is Mercury. Buddha is Mercury, and Mercury is the awakening, so enlightenment. Right. Buddha is the fully awakened one, and Mercury is responsible for reawakening and is closely related to the shocking awakener, its higher octave, Mercury's higher octave, Uranus, also connected with Aquarius. We're going to have a big waking up during the Aquarian age. Why Mercury and magic? Well, the third ray is the magician, and Mercury, a probable third ray monad. Third ray monad, yes. So those who come in under Mercury, I think the Tibetan is very Mercury, become experts in magic, eloquent in the word, in thought, great magicians. For the moment at least, until further corrected, I think given the vast expanse of DK's mind, the acute energy of divine mental perception, all the information he gave to HBB, the fact that he is connected with Master R by the lines and so forth, make me think of him as a third ray monad, though a second ray soul, unlike Master R, who was a seventh ray soul. And he also says that Triatli has somewhat of the first ray in his nature. We don't know exactly where to put that. It's also possible with some kind of atmic focus. Well, that's another question, really needing deep investigation. Mercury is the Lord of Wisdom. There's love wisdom, and Mercury is mind wisdom. Venus is love wisdom. We have the Buddha and his students versus the Christ and his students. So those who are more along the second ray line of love will follow the Christ. Those who are more along the second ray of mind wisdom will follow the Buddha. It's interesting, we're told that the when dividing the second ray, the third ray type of second ray comes from a division of the second type. But you can see via Mercury that there's a connection between mind and wisdom, just as there is between love and wisdom. So I will not leave the third type of second ray soul, which is very Mercurian, unrelated to the wisdom aspect. In some ways, you might say, well, the three aspects of the second ray soul. No. Always the, let's say, okay. Three aspects of the second ray soul. Second ray soul are maybe Vulcan, Venus, and Mercury. Vulcan representing the austere wisdom type, of course, is connected with Buddha and Taurus. Venus representing the Christ, a great second ray monad. Mercury representing the meticulous detail, meticulous entirety of the third ray type of second ray soul. Perhaps connected with these three planets, particularly the Tibetan is so Mercurian, so Geminian, and in how he presents things with this fluid relationship between all the different factors. It seems that Mercury is connected with this ray of the true occultist. I would say he is very much the true occultist, but just as the Christ can combine the teacher, the psychologist, and the savior all in his nature, so some of the masters can combine various aspects in their nature. Wisdom and mind, of course, being emphasized, I think, in the Tibetan's case, but of course the deep love motivating all that he does. As he says, he deeply loves human nature, he says. Mercury is still more occult and mysterious than Venus, older, okay. It is certainly older, and does this mean an earlier arising in the solar systems of our solar logos? We have had five, and we're having the fifth. It's identical with Mithra, and also with Thoth, I would say. Also with Thoth, it's the perpetual companion of the Son of Wisdom, expressing that Son of Wisdom, Mercury and the Sun are one, is the leader and evocator of souls, so drawing them into the mysteries and restoring sight to the blind. And one with the sun, the earlier illumination from Mercury becomes the complete solar illumination. It's a bit like the road to mastership. Mercury, fourth ray, Antikarana, leading to unity, fusion, illumination in the solar sphere at the fifth initiation. Mercury heals the blind and restores sight, mental and physical. That's a beautiful, and of course he is connected with the caduceus of Mercury is a symbol of the healing, of the healing power. Okay. So, continuing here, that, the medical, it's really a medical planet in many ways. Herbal, medicinal, manipulating energies in triangles. It moves energy from place to place according to need. So the whole science of triangles, as it involves the healing arts, has much to do with Mercury and with the hands that are used in magnetic healing. Mercury is sometimes represented as three-headed because one with the Sun and Venus. And what will this represent? This is certainly illumination, the three together. Are a very bright light. And in a way, what we're looking at is Vulcan, Venus, Mercury. One, two, three. That's an important triangle of will, love, and intelligence. Mercury, the transcendental mind, but also the intuition related to love, wisdom. Mercury has an interesting blend of hard and soft line rays, as does Venus, as does even Vulcan, with its proposed fourth ray monad and its deeper connection with the heart of the sun. So maybe ultimately a second ray monad, just like the sun, just like our solar logos, as a cube without arms, because the power of speech and eloquence can prevail without the assistance of arms and feet, although Mercury does rule the arms and hands in a certain sense. It is the god of eloquence. So the third ray and the throat center are unusually stimulated, and the selection of the words to use contributes to the eloquence. Also, it's related to the voice. Oftentimes, mercurial people have a higher voice. Geminians, particularly. Sometimes Virgoans. I have, however, met some good bass voices among Geminians, but oftentimes when Mercury is prominent, the voice is higher than, let us say, if as presented by Jupiter. So, let's see, it's we can call it work through the power of thought. And this is magic. No need to do something physically when thought can do it. Thought can do it. So it's the mobility of thought and sending thought on errands. And I suppose thought form building is very strong here, but it will need some seventh ray to ground it. The fifth race is born under Mercury, the Aryan race, very interesting. It is an intellectual race, a race in which three minds are to unite. In the Aryan race. The fifth ray minor monad will give the correspondence. Not under Venus. It's rather interesting. It's more like the sixth race will be born under the soft line energies of Venus. The high soft line energies, and the fifth race is born under the high, very high, hard line energies of Mercury, 5 and 3. The 4 is there to stimulate intuition in the fifth race, of course, but there will be a much more Venus-Neptune feel to the sixth root race, a truly loving and intuitive race. Interesting that Brazil, with its fourth and second ray, will be so important at that time. Mercury is the elder brother of the Earth. Mars is not. Venus is well, not really an elder sister, but remember that, that's the way it goes, Earth should now be in its fifth round, but was delayed. Definitely delayed. Okay. So the fifth race, born under Mercury, and the mind has certainly increased greatly in this Aryan race, all levels of the mind. Concrete mind, also sun of mind and cultivation, abstract mind. Mercury rules all those levels of the mind, and also the intuitive mind coming, the transcendental mind, still part of the work of the fifth root race. The abstract mind first, and then perhaps the true intuition coming in the sixth root race, but Mercury still giving some of those who are on its rays access to the intuition, especially as it solves mental problems. The elder brother of the Earth, okay. Earth was delayed, should be in its fifth round. Earth is under the influence of both Mercury. Under the influence of both Mercury and Venus, and the troublesome influence of Mars, which still will add the courage to carry out the first ray destiny of Earth. Mercury receives 7 times more light than any other planet, and I believe it was said, well, what about Vulcan? Even closer. What about its condition? Sometimes we're told that it's hidden behind the planet. Vulcan hidden behind the planet Mercury. Some people have taken that literally. It seems to be a blind. It may have some astronomical truth to it. We're also told Mercury receives 7 times the light which Earth receives, and 3 times the light which Venus receives. So this is a little bit different, to see 7 times more light than any other planet, because it doesn't really receive 7 times more light than Venus, I think. I wonder if this is a proper transposition from Secret Doctrine number 2. Bodhi and Mercury correspond with each other, and both are yellow and radiant golden color, and that's the sun influence. But we will have a very Buddhic solar logos on the path to the cosmic Buddhic plane. Cosmic Buddhic plane. In the human system, the right eye corresponds to Bodhi, also in a way the eye of the soul, and the left eye with Manas and Venus, or Lucifer, the bright light, the bright eye of mind, the bright eye of mind, the left. There's a mystery here in the eyes. We're told of the incredible concrete-minded power that the members of the Black Lodge have. They've taken the concrete mind to heights which we cannot even imagine. And is all of that connected with an inverted Venus, perhaps? So there is a great brightness in the mind, but unless it's linked with the love or Bodhi aspect, it gives Lucifer a bad name. Lucifer is really the light bringer, and it was the name which provocatively HBB used for her magazine. She certainly got the fundamentalist Christians on her case. She didn't mean that at all. She meant the light bringer. She meant the solar angels. So maybe the left eye can be considered in a way a solar angelic eye, a higher form of mind. Is that possible? Left eye, solar angelic, perhaps. Now, if we take this even higher, will the right eye have to do, well, by this time we're at the union of eyes, but the right eye, oh, how about that, monad, and the left eye, atmic. Because atma, the atmic plane, is a mental plane from the more cosmic perspective. Well, Mercury is called Hermes, and Venus Aphrodite in their conjunction in man on the psychophysical plane gives him the name Hermaphrodite. So man is the divine hermaphrodite, but this is not meant work out in dense physical matter. No. This is having to do with androgynous psyche, having both the receptive and the active qualities. So we are Hermes Aphrodite, and in a way the Hermes part of us is particularly manlike. The Aphrodite part is the angel. Aphrodite has to do with our angelic part. Hermes is more related to the fourth creative hierarchy, the human creative hierarchy, and the human kingdom. So we are both, and we have to combine these, and the closer we come to the devas in this age, this impending age, the more we will be able to unite these two kingdoms. Well, here are some cosmic fire references to Mercury, I suppose. Venus, Jupiter, Saturn might be considered, yes, well, we've repeated that, as the vehicles of the three super or major principles, and we've given the order in which we consider them to be. We've encountered this several times. Mercury, Earth, and Mars are closely allied, but a hidden mystery lies here, and you know how they work. Venus, the abstract mind, Jupiter, the buddhi, and Saturn, the first ray in this case, the Atma, related to Mercury, Earth, and Mars, and by now you know what I'm proposing for that relationship. The second hint I seek to give in the triangle form of the Earth, Mars, and Mercury, remember, there is actually a scheme triangle there, a scheme triangle. In connection with this triangle, the analogy lies in the fact that Mercury and the center of the base of the spine of the human being are closely allied. It is kundalini active. Mercury demonstrates kundalini in intelligent activity, knowing where to go and what triangle to animate, whilst Mars demonstrates kundalini latent. Mars, a kind of supportive power. But Mercury, with the intelligence of knowing where, according to monadic ray type, to go. In triangular manner. We've been told the monadic ray determines this stimulation of various parts of the triangle at various times. So sometimes the number four of Mercury, see, Mercury is a fourth ray planet. The The base of the spine center has four petals. And yes, there is this Mercury-Pluto, Mercury-Mars, base of the spine, the intelligent rising on the fourth subplane, or the fourth plane, let us say, fourth division from the soul. In other words, if we look at the soul, below it are the concrete mind, astral body, then let's split the etheric, physical, etheric and physical. Well, in a way, Mercury rules both. So sometimes it's said that the fourth ray rules the base of the spine, and I think this is connecting with the harmonizing power of Kundalini active. Active. In intelligent, harmonizing activity. Mercury. Well, one day we'll be able to see the energies directly, and we will not have to theorize about them or in some way imagine what they are. We'll be able to see the passage of the energies. And we'll, instead of having to reason, sight will take the place of reasoning. Intuition will take the place of reasoning. Intuition is sight. And Mercury, of course, restores sight to the blind. Mercury is intuition. Mercury is everywhere. It's a very ubiquitous planet, mobile, found on many levels, all throughout, I think, well, through most of the cosmic ethers, through the abstract mind, through the sun of mind, through the concrete mind, and also at the base of the spine, guiding the rising of the animating energy, bringing health, health through Kundalini rising, Mercury. Bringing health through Kundalini rising, if one knows. And of course, the knowledge belongs to Mercury as well. In the middle of the fifth round, the Lord of Mercury will, with the logos of the Venus scheme and of our Earth, form a temporary triangle of force. I assume that this is our chain round number five. Not what's called a scheme round five, or when DK sometimes refers to planetary round, but he doesn't necessarily mean scheme round. Well, what can come of this? We have a triangle representing the mind, the emotions, and the physicality. And in another respect, we have the triad, the soul, and the soul-infused personality. So let's just say that the Earth, in its divine hermaphroditic nature, becomes a sacred planet. I think under Jupiter-Venus, the soul of our planet emerges. Under Mercury, Venus, and our Earth, the sacredness of our planet may be brought about. Sacredness of our planet may be brought about. Possibly. Could be. Because that will happen, I think, in the fifth round. Sometimes those lesser initiations correspond with the major cosmic ones. We may have a 5-2 situation. But what really is a sacred planet that I've gone over before, is it the fifth major cosmic or the fifth in the subsidiary set? And there are major planetary schemes, major or sacred planetary schemes, sacred globes. And they may all be called, in a way, planets. So there's a blinding there through multiplicity. The same term is used for several levels. Now, a little on the moon, It is a cold residual quantity, no quality, I guess, the shadow dragged after the new body, into which her living powers are transfused. She is now doomed for long ages to be ever pursuing the earth, to be attracted by and to attract her progeny, I must say, in a negative way, through no true radiation, but through decay. Constantly vampirized by her child, she revenges herself on it. I guess there's a drawing away of, well, it seems to have happened already, but what else can the Earth vampirize away from the moon? It's as if the moon rules vampirization, but it's a reverse type. The Earth has a vampirization which is positive, and the negative vampirization, or drawing off from the Earth, is feeding the past. Constantly vampirized by her child, she revenges on it, herself in it, by soaking it through and through with the nefarious, invisible, poisonous influence which emanates from the occult side of her nature. Is this the invisible yet decaying side? For she is a dead yet a living body, just the way they say the physical body is never more alive than when it is dead. Because all of the lesser lives at that time are able to have a certain kind of independence from the ruler, and they spring into the activity which leads to decay. There is no coherence anymore, and it's every cell for itself, every atom for itself. It is the activity of decomposition. The activity of decomposition reminds one of the decomposing bodies that the Black Lodge uses, we're told, in any vicinity in which it seeks to work and has power. It's friend of decomposition. It is not a friend of integration. The particles of her decaying corpse, this is vivid language from HPB, isn't it, are full of active and destructive life, although the body which they had formed is soulless and lifeless. Well, it's like a corpse. It's like a decaying corpse, undesirable in the neighborhood. You don't want it in your living room. So, that's why the Black Lodge uses lunar magic to work its ends, which are destructive and decompositional. Well, it seems like HPB got out her sixth ray, and she got out her fourth ray, too, if she has any. She was really, I understand, quite an artist and pianist. And but it's hard to know who was at home with HPB, as she was the vehicle for so many of those higher ones who could speak through her. The Earth is the satellite of the moon, as the soul is today the satellite of form. Well, it's usually considered the other way around, but let's just say the moon came first. So usually a satellite is secondary. But of course, the secondary has become the primary. Primary. And the Earth, the moon is considered now the satellite of the Earth. Is the soul today really the satellite of form? Well, this can all be reversed. So when we overcome our lunar nature, then the moon indeed becomes the diminishing satellite. Satellite of the Earth. For so many people, the soul is the satellite of form, the centrality. For so many, the centralization is in the form, and the soul seems elsewhere. Is that really true? Centralization in the form, the soul seems elsewhere. I have a soul, not that I am a soul, but when we start to realize we are the soul, then the form becomes like a satellite, like a secondary factor. And the center is established in the soul. So the center must be established in the earth and overcome lunar tendencies, poisonous, nefarious, destructive, all the things HPV says. But we'll have a waning moon. For the rest of our time and until the seventh round, I think we're told of the waning moon until it finally disappears, and that will be the symbol of the end of all backward poles. And the cosmic moon, which is in a way holding the solar logos back, must also disappear. The moon is the symbol of evil, okay, and certainly used in black magic, and is the symbol of ill health when the builders are the lunar lords and those who work under the behest of the control of the moon and at the behest of the lower personal self. Then you have disease, ill health, and death. The moon is not a sacred planet. Well, it's not even a planet in a way. It's a diminishing satellite, degenerating satellite. But the planets, the planet hidden, veiled by the moon, is a non-sacred planet on the fourth ray, apparently. So that fourth ray planet, as it emerges, will be seen not to be sacred. The moon, meanwhile, does veil Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus, which are sacred planets. But the veiling of those planets is not the same as the hiding of a perhaps etheric planet. When it comes to all the 12 planets, not all of them necessarily must be dense physical. The moon is the king of planets. Charles Jayne used to tell me that quite a bit, and he said, this means that the moon veils or hides Rex, the king. And there is, I don't know so much about this planet, but it may put the personality in charge as the king. It doesn't seem to be particularly good at overcoming the personality. Someone was telling me that it also has to do with monsters, dinosaurs, things of that nature, you know what I'm going to say, right? Tyrannosaurus Rex, the king of all the lizards. Tyrannosaurus Rex. The moon is the sovereign of the vegetable world through its cycles. Growth takes place in proper rhythm. Whoop. Time to plant, time not to plant, time to harvest. When the sap or the liquid is at its juiciest, not dry, there's the whole idea of the cycle of growth. So the cycle of growth, which is particularly applicable to the vegetable kingdom. So there would not be a coming to fruition, coming to fruition by observing the cycles of the moon properly. Okay, and the moon is an inferior body. Well, yes, and let's just say the dense, it symbolizes that which is not a principle, the dense physical body. When you look at the non-sacred planets, the moon represents the dense physical body, Earth, the etheric body, perhaps Mars, the astral body, perhaps Pluto, the mental body, or vice versa, and the sun represents the integrated personality. The moon is the mind and the sun is the understanding. The second ray and the third ray is related to the mind. Quoting Sankaracharya. So the moon is that which is the concrete mind, you might say. And the sun is the higher mind. And in a way, you could say the moon represents the, as in the center, and the sun represents the center at the top of the head. So it's a second ray, third ray contrast. A second ray, third ray contrast. Well, I think the moon is a dead planet from which all the principles are gone. It is a substitute for a planet which seems to have disappeared from view. And is that planet Rex, the king of the planets? Maybe it has not disappeared from view, and in a way Vulcan has disappeared from view, but the moon only veils Vulcan, Neptune, and Uranus sometimes. It is not really hiding them in any sense. It's an occult veiling. What is the mysterious planet that has a lunar quality and is to be substituted for the moon? Let's just say then that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 156. Page 665, I suppose. Coming up to that dreaded 666. Beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 157A, and this is 156B, and we are on page 665. All right, well, friends, I did a lot of these today. I'm somehow eager to complete this book after 2 years and 4 months. I suppose if I'd been able to work every day, it would be more like 1 year, but there were so many times when I just couldn't work. So many things that have to be done. And following that, I'll continue doing commentaries, that's my hope, in the Rays and the Initiations, in the second part of the book, and the last part of Cosmic Fire, and a whole series on the Egoic Lotus, and on the old commentaries, and on physiognomy, if that is possible. There's a lot to be explored using our planet Mercury here. And we're going to get into, the whole thing is Mercurian, isn't it? Use of the voice, clothing ideas in words, communicating, so forth. Trying to take the information given by that great exemplar of Mercury, Master DK, and spread it more widely and have it thought about more seriously, more intuitively, more rationally. It's a very Mercurian undertaking. Okay, friends, that's it for right now. We'll see you later. Take care. Bye-bye.